What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying?
All right, we back. Tale of the Tapes, Season 3, Episode 6. On today's episode, we'll be covering Ed OG and Goldie Loaf. So Goldie Loaf, for those of you who are not aware, is a member of the group The Eastsiders with Snoop Dogg and Big Trey D. Now, all three members of the group did make the cut, so the group and all of its material will count, as well as each member's solo works. The reason we're not covering the Eastsiders as a group here today is because the individuals came out before the group. So Snoop Dogg was the first to have a solo album out, and then the group was formed and released music later on after Snoop. So that's why we covered Snoop prior to this individually. We're covering Goldie Loaf today here individually, and we'll be covering Big Trey D individually in the future, because like I said, all the members did make the cut and the group did count, but the individuals were out prior to the group, so we're going to cover them as individuals going forward. As far as my opinions and expectations on these guys, Ed OG I really wasn't too aware of prior to this study. Yeah, I may have heard his name in passing, but never really heard anything of his, so it would be hard to have an expectation on somebody that you know nothing about. But just based on the little I did know, I didn't expect him to finish above the halfway point, mostly just based on the fact that I didn't really know him, which may or may not be fair, but, you know, I'm pretty well-versed in hip-hop, so I feel like if I don't really know somebody, I generally don't expect them to finish that high. Again, not saying it can't happen, but it's just not necessarily what I typically expect. So we'll have to wait and see. But for Goldie Loaf, it's a similar instance for me personally. Again, I may or may not have heard his name in passing, probably mentioned by Snoop, or, you know, heard him featured on a Snoop song or something. Or to be completely honest, I may have heard an Eastsiders song before, because although I wasn't necessarily a fan and didn't have any albums or anything like that, I did know who the Eastsiders were. Just don't think I knew exactly who every member was. Again, this made it more difficult to expect anything of Goldie Loaf, but given the fact that he was in a group with Snoop, I generally figured him to be around the same talent level, but with less of an impact on the hip-hop game. So, again, probably just behind the halfway point, similar to Ed OG. Now, Goldie Loaf actually never had a solo album, so the first official album he was given credit for was the debut album by the Eastsiders as a group, which was in 2000, but Ed OG was actually out prior to that, so we're going to start off with him here today. His birth name is Edward Anderson, born November 27, 1970 in Roxbury, Massachusetts, United States. His genres are listed as hip-hop, and his years active are listed as 1986 to present. So, nothing too much there really to speak about, but we do see that Ed OG is from Massachusetts, and the only reason I point that out is because not very many artists we've covered so far have come from that area. I think Ed OG is probably only maybe around the fourth person or so that we've covered from there, which is kind of odd in a sense. Boston is a major city in the United States, more specifically on the East Coast where hip-hop started. You would think that through 214 artists covered, we would have seen more people from this area, but apparently not a major amount of hip-hop being put out from the Boston area. That's not to say that there's none or that there won't be more in the future, but I just personally expected a little bit more at this point in the study. Not necessarily because I thought I knew a lot of Boston rappers, but it just doesn't seem like a place that would be this void of hip-hop. I would say of major cities in the United States, Boston probably has one of the least amount of people covered in the study so far, but nonetheless, we got one here today, so let's get into some more background info on Ed OG, and then we can discuss my write-up of him and get into the math. So, Edward Anderson, born November 27, 1970, is a hip-hop artist from Boston, Massachusetts, better known by his stage name, Ed OG. Edo is the senior most hip-hop artist from Boston, if not from anywhere in Massachusetts, in the sense that he was the first to gain recognition in New York City and in the wider United States of America, and remains one of the best-known Boston rap artists internationally, having collaborated with large numbers of independent rap artists all over the globe. He is additionally known by the name Ed OG, which was initially a misspelling by a record label but has endured. Okay, so first and foremost, I want to clarify something here. In that last sentence, they say that he is additionally known by the name Ed OG. Now, that is spelt capital E, lowercase d, space, capital O, period, capital G, period. As in Ed OG, Ed Original Gangsta. The original spelling is Ed OG, E-D-O, capital E, lowercase d-O, space, capital G, period. So that's why that other sentence reads, Edo is the senior most hip-hop artist from Boston. Because he originally was listed as Edo G, E-D-O, space, capital G. And then it was a typo, I guess, by a record label as Ed, space, O-G. Which, listen, I think it was a pun and a play on words. I think that he wrote it like that for whatever the reasoning may be, but it was meant to be pronounced Ed OG as in Ed Original Gangsta. So I think that because that's how it's pronounced, that's how it was just assumed that it was written, and it was kind of a mistake, and I guess it wasn't really a big deal because that's kind of what the pun on words is anyway, and it's supposed to be Ed OG, and it probably led to more people pronouncing it correctly if I had to guess than anything anyway. So, you know, like they said, that name endured. But I did want to just talk about that because with me reading it back, it may just sound like I'm saying the same thing because it's pronounced the same way. But I did want to just point out that the spellings are different there. But other than that, we do see in that background basically what I was discussing before. I mean, here we have a guy who I barely ever heard of, and I'm someone very well versed in hip hop who lives on the East Coast. And yet and still, his background has him listed as one of the most popular and most successful Boston hip-hop artists. So that just adds to the point I was trying to make earlier about the absence of a lot of Boston rappers in this hip-hop scene so far. But with that information out of the way, let's get into my breakdown of Ed OG. I knew almost nothing of Ed OG before starting this study. While he had some great lines, he did reach a bit with punches sometimes. He was very good at being able to keep a topic throughout the entirety of a song, but did struggle with his flow a bit at times, especially early on. He was, however, good with both using different rhyme schemes and rhyming a lot of syllables per bar, leaving him as an above-average lyricist overall. Ed OG qualified 8 albums in total for scoring, 6 solo and 2 collaboration projects, one with Master Ace and the other with producer/rapper Pete Rock. Of the 8 albums, 5 were borderline good/great, and the remaining 3 were great albums. Of his total 84 songs registered for scoring, 2 were great, none were weak, and another 51 were good songs. That makes nearly 2/3 of Ed OG's catalog good or better, which is a solid stat. He did, however, tend to recycle songs on albums sometimes. Although I'm not entirely sure of Ed OG's full intentions when entering the hip-hop game, he hasn't garnered much fame or commercial success at all, although he has worked with many established artists and did influence Slaughterhouse. When it came to originality, there was definitely a bit of give and take for Ed OG. While his image, sound, and content were pretty typical, his message and song topics for the most part were not. So that actually sounded like a pretty solid write-up there for Ed OG, so let's discuss the numbers here and see where he winds up. Lyrics, he gets a 6. Like I spoke about, there were a little bit of things early on. There were times early on where he lost his flow and stuff like that, but he was very good at being able to keep a topic throughout a song for the entirety of his career. And he was good with using different rhyme schemes. He was good with rhyming a lot of syllables per bar. And like I said, even though he did reach at times for some punches, he also did have some great punchlines. So there was definitely enough good outweighing the bad there to put Ed OG as an above average lyricist. So he gets a score of 6 there in the lyrics department. Albums, he gets a 5.28 with 0 classics. And even though there isn't officially any classics in there, so he doesn't get those extra points, that 5.28 is a great album score. Now, we've seen people get great album scores. We've even seen some of our tip-top guys have an album score that equates to every album being a classic, even though that might have technically not necessarily been the case. So I don't want to, you know, go crazy here and make it sound like Ed OG has one of the greatest album scores of all time. But I will say this. Out of all the people that probably have better album scores than Ed OG, there probably aren't that many that had that album score with 8+ albums. So a lot of these people that are getting these really high album scores are people like Big L, Biggie, things like that, where they only had 2 albums, 1 album, 3 albums, stuff like that. And again, I'm not trying to knock any of these people. That's certainly not what I'm trying to do. They were only alive for so long and they could only put out what they put out. And the fact that, you know, all of their material was of that caliber is certainly impressive. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's not always easy to keep up that level of production. And that's not to say that those guys wouldn't have continued to put out music at that level and that caliber, or certainly not to say that they weren't capable of it, but we just don't know. With Ed OG, I mean, again, no classic albums and not the greatest album score, but to have that high of an album score with very little, you know, singles or commercial success or anything like that, you got to understand probably 100% of this guy's songs were starting off at a 1. Where you look at somebody like Jay-Z, Eminem, people like that that had a tremendous amount of hits, a lot of these guys are getting their song scores raised just based off of the success of a particular song sometimes. And you got, now, Puff Daddy didn't qualify for this study, but if he did, that No Way Out album, I mean, what was there, 10 singles on that album? I don't even say that to be funny. I'm being serious. That was like a 15, 16 song album that had like 10 singles on it. So even if Puff Daddy never does anything above average at all on that album anywhere, at the very least, it's probably going to get a score around a 1.5 just based on the popularity of it. Ed OG didn't really have that privilege here. So again, to put out 8 albums with like no singles or popularity and get an album score of a 5.28 throughout the course of an 8-album career, that really is some super, super impressive stuff there. So I definitely want to give Ed OG his props on that album score for sure. Songs he gets a plus 0.24, and while that's not really anything significant, he is getting some, you know, some extra points added to his score there where he could be losing points. And again, everything that was achieved here by Ed OG was achieved just through, you know, basically like lyricism and creativity of having original songs or a song topic that he was able to keep or some sort of crazy story he was able to tell or verses he was able to kill or whatever. So again, all done directly by his artistic doing and not necessarily by promotion or a machine or basing something off of somebody's monetary success and stuff like that. Again, it's not anything ridiculous, but I'm just pointing out that these above average scores here, you know, above average in the lyrics department, great in the albums department, getting a plus in the song score, just pointing out all done super organically and done just by the skill of Ed OG and not involving anything else. So impressive stuff there across the board. And like I said, the way that he got that plus 0.24 in the songs department, 84 songs in total, 2 great songs, no weak songs. So that came to 2.4%. You slide the decimal over and you get a plus 0.24 in the songs department. Impact, he gets a 4.5, and that honestly, it was carried to a 4.5 by basically the size of his body of work and a lot of the people that he worked with. Because other than that, Ed OG probably would have gotten a 4 in this department. He did influence Slaughterhouse. Most of the people that get 4s in the Impact department don't have any names on their list of artists influence. Certainly not a big list here for Ed OG, and I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I'm just saying only one name on there thus far, which is Slaughterhouse, and probably my personal favorite rap group, and probably one whom I would consider to probably be one of the greatest of all time, technically speaking. But again, not necessarily the most popular, most successful, most impactful group on hip-hop. So to only have that name on your list, it's better than not having anything, certainly, but it doesn't really help your case as much as it hurts it. But I thought, you know, just with having the name on the list, having 8 albums, working with a lot of the artists that he did work with and stuff like that, I just thought that he accomplished enough with, you know, a very, very, very small machine behind him to warrant an impact score of a 4.5 there. So, yes, below average, but just below average. And obviously, that's better than a 4 or 3.5 or something like that, which, you know, quite honestly, any people that didn't really have any major mainstream commercial success, depending on what else they did or didn't do, they could be down in that 3.5 or 4 range. So, you know, not out of the question there that Ed OG could have found himself in that category, but I thought he did enough to bring himself up to a 4.5 there. And originality, he gets a 6. Like I spoke about, when it came to originality with Ed OG, there was different things to look at. His image was pretty typical. His general overall sound was, you know, pretty typical to that East Coast. I don't want to totally say underground, but certainly not mainstream artist. Content was mostly usually typical. And again, I'm not trying to knock that. I'm a fan of the majority of that content, but we're not talking about what I like here. We're talking about what's original, what's technically good or difficult or, you know, yada yada, things of that nature. So again, while I love that content, it generally was typical. On the flip side of that, a lot of the messages that Ed OG tried to portray in his music were the exact opposite of typical, actually. He would, you know, suggest things that most other artists weren't suggesting. He would talk about things that most other artists weren't talking about and stuff like that. Again, not necessarily as far as his content was concerned. The content might have generally been the same, but maybe his view on the content or the energy that he was trying to put out about the content was generally different than most other people that might have been speaking about that same content. And a lot of his song topics were not typical. He definitely had some very original song topics where it was like, oh, okay, I've never heard anybody make a song about this before. So there were two sides of the coin there for Ed OG, but I just felt like the fact that he didn't, you know, bite a lot of things from a lot of other people, there were no people that I felt I had to go out of my way to name that Ed OG took things from as far as beats and lines and samples and stuff like that. So, you know, if other things are 50-50, you have to take other things into consideration. And I felt like with there being a bit of give and take and then, you know, taking into consideration that he really didn't take things from other people and he did have some original things going on for him as far as his message and, you know, song topics and things like that. Again, I thought he did enough to carry himself to an above average score of a 6 there in the originality department. So given what we were facing going in here for Ed OG, it sounds to me like Ed OG did a pretty damn good job of making the most of maybe what's not necessarily a best case scenario to score very high in this study. So you add all those 5 numbers up and you divide by 5, and that gives you a final rating of 4.40, which leaves Ed OG in 109th place of 221 artists done overall. So last week we had my cousin Chucky on, and I specifically remember discussing how about 90% of artists covered in the new millennium so far have all landed right around the middle, and Ed OG continues that trend here today, landing almost exactly in the middle again. Now, to be fair, he is slightly above the middle, inside the upper half, and I actually predicted him to finish in the bottom half, mostly based on the fact of how little I knew about him. And what Ed OG did here, in my opinion, was prove that while certain things will hold you down, how far you allow them to pull you down is solely up to you. What I mean by that is Ed OG was good enough technically to take a below average impact score and still finish inside the upper half. So major props to him for that, because that's certainly not an easy task. But now, let's move on to Goldie Loke of the Eastsiders, who, like I said, never actually had a solo album out. So we're counting the official start to his career to be in 2000 when the first Eastsiders album came out. His origins listed as Long Beach, California, United States. Genres listed as West Coast Hip Hop. Years active are listed as 1997 to 2004, 2014 to 2016, and 2022 to present. So first and foremost, I want to be clear that there is very, very little information to find on Goldie Loke individually at all. but the only albums he registered were with the Eastsiders. So I filled that information in according to the Eastsiders, which you would have to assume to mostly be accurate for Goldie Loke as well. As far as those dates are concerned, allow me to elaborate. So in 1997, after Snoop Dogg left Death Row Records, he formed the Eastsiders with Crooked Eye and Lil C-Style, spelt T-H-E-E-A-S-T-S-I-D-E-R-S. They released one song commercially, Feel So Good, on the soundtrack for the 1998 film Ride. The group was briefly under contract with Virgin Records, however, no other songs were released besides a few other songs that were leaked on the internet in 1999. It took another 2 years for the revival of the ensemble, and they formed again in 2000 with a new lineup made up of Snoop Dogg, Trey D, and Goldie Loke. The name was also changed to the Eastsiders, spelt T-H-A-E-A-S-T-S-I-D-A-Z, possibly due to contractual obligations with Virgin Records. In 2005, Eastsiders member Trey D was sentenced to 12 years in prison, and the group split up. And then when he was released in 2014, they got back together. So that's why you see a lapse in active time from 2004 to 2014 in those dates listed. Then in 2016, it was basically leaked that the Eastsiders weren't putting out any more new music. However, in 2022, both Trey D and Goldie Loke confirmed that there is a new album coming from the Eastsiders. Now, I don't have a date or know exactly when this is coming out, but obviously if this does happen, the album will count towards each member's scores and their final scores and positions will obviously be adjusted accordingly. Hopefully that happens before we cover Big Trey D so I don't have to redo him and we still get the most up-to-date information when I cover him in 2002. And just to be clear, there wasn't any more background information that I could find on Goldie Loke to offer other than the very little info that I gave you on the Eastsiders earlier. So we're going to just get right into my breakdown of Goldie Loke and then check out the math for him. While I had heard of the Eastsiders, I had never really heard of Goldie Loke's name in particular. While he wasn't the weakest member in the group lyrically, he wasn't the best either. With an extremely small sample size of work to go off of, he didn't do much to add or take away from his score and finished average lyrically overall. Goldie had no solo material whatsoever and only registered 2 albums for scoring, both of which were average Eastsiders albums. With only 30 songs in total, most of which weren't solely his, he didn't have any great or weak songs, but he did have one good one. With such a small body of work as a unit, no solo material, and such little mainstream commercial success in a group with one of the most famous rappers of all time doesn't bode well for your impact score. On top of that, he only had clear influences on Eminem up to this point in the study. As far as style is concerned, Goldie Loke was, for all intents and purposes, your typical West Coast banging rapper, both in content, image, and overall sound, but he never took anything from any other artist. So a couple of different things to take away from that, I feel like. First and foremost, and I've said this before, it's very difficult to gauge some of these numbers sometimes with people who have this small of a catalog, especially somebody in a 3-man group. Only 30 songs total divided by 3 people, you're looking at the equivalent of 10 songs worth of material, which typically would be between 20 and 30 verses depending on the songs, and that's about exactly what we got from Goldie Loke. So, like I said, not much there to go by, but I do want to just clarify something very quickly before we even discuss any of these numbers here. When I was speaking on Goldie Loke's impact score and I stated that he had little mainstream commercial success, I was referring to him and not necessarily the group. Now, I understand that he didn't have any solo material, so it's kind of like, well, if the group was successful, then so was he, right? But the thing is, the group isn't a household name and only has 2 albums. Now, their debut album did go platinum, and I don't want to downplay that or fail to acknowledge it. But the point that I'm trying to make is at no time whatsoever did Goldie Loke prove that he could do any of this without the group or without Snoop Dogg. So while he does have a platinum album to his name, it's got an asterisk next to it. And while I can't prove this, I have a hunch a solo Goldie Loke album probably wouldn't go platinum, And I don't say that to be a dick. And regardless, that's all speculation, is neither here nor there. So I'm not even going to go down that road, but I'm just trying to make a point, which I think probably most people understand the point that I'm trying to get at. If you disagree, it doesn't really matter, because it didn't have anything to do with his scores. And, you know, it's not going to have anything to do with his scores going forward. It's just me speculating on what I think would happen should he put an album out. But when all is said and done, all will be evaluated, and he will be given credit and lose credit for things that he did or didn't accomplish, both by himself and with the group. So let's break down the numbers for Goldie Loke here and see where he finishes at the end of the day. Lyrics, he gets a 5, and I'm going to just keep this short and sweet. Like I said, you really only heard about 30 verses in total so far from Goldie Loke. So I just didn't really think there was anything inside those 30 verses that made me say, okay, he's going down to a 4.5, or okay, he's definitely slightly above average at a 5.5 here. He kind of just was average for the most part. I don't want to say that he never did anything above or below average, but it was never anything that he was able to run with to the point where I had to change his score. So he gets an average score of 5 there in the lyrics department. Albums, he gets a 3.30 with 0 classics. And like I spoke about, the only two albums that he registered for scoring were the two Eastsiders albums, both of which were scored as average albums, at least as far as his version of those albums and what songs he was on and things like that. Keep in mind, when it's groups, the album is not scored for the group. It's scored by, you know, what person was on what songs. You're not going to get a song score for a song that you weren't on. So that's not to say that there weren't any good songs on any of those Eastsiders albums, but Goldie Loke only got credit for being on one good song in total. So overall, his album score, he gets an average album score. Like I said, two average albums by the Eastsiders there. Songs, he gets a 0. Like I said, only a total of 30 songs, which he probably only had about one verse on each of those songs. No great songs, no weak songs, so he just remains at 0 in the songs department, which, you know, like I said, it would be nice to gain points, but remaining at a 0 is certainly better than losing points in the only category that you can lose points in the study. Impact, he gets a 4, and again, this is just accumulation of things that you have to keep in mind here. I know it sounds odd that a guy that has a platinum album to his name gets an impact score of a 4, which is below the impact score of Ed OG, who got a 4.5, and he didn't have any, you know, really any commercially successful albums at all, let alone a platinum album. But again, you got to pay attention to everything here. Just having a platinum album doesn't automatically qualify you for a good impact score. So the thing with Goldie Loke is we have to keep in consideration, we're talking about impact on the hip-hop game, okay? When I say that, we're not only talking about impact on mainstream commercial hip-hop. That's not the only thing we're talking about. So while if you don't have any mainstream commercial success at all, surely you're not going to get a 10 or a 9.5 in the impact department, because there's obviously a big chunk of that section that you're lacking in. But again, on the flip side of that, just being commercially successful certainly does not give you a big impact score if, as a whole, you didn't have a big impact on hip-hop in general. Not just mainstream hip-hop, okay? So, and again, I'm not saying this to be aggressive or to be a dick, but I'm just being sincere here. When you only have 2 albums, 30 songs, and no solo material to your name, how much could you really have impacted hip-hop? You don't even have any albums that are necessarily yours. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's not to downplay groups. There are groups that were out and maybe their artists never had any solo material. That's not to say that they couldn't have a big impact. But how big of an impact did the group have? If that group was their whole entire career from start to finish, then you do have to look at what the group did and you do have to score that for them, because it's the only thing to score for them. With Goldie Loke, that's not really the case here. So yes, his only material is with the group, but that's not the group's only material. Do you see what I'm saying? Snoop Dogg has like 20 albums, whether it's mixtapes, whether it's solo work, whether it's work with the Eastsiders, whether it's work with other groups, 213, whoever. Snoop Dogg's impact, even if he wasn't as successful as he was, it would have to be taken into consideration that he's got 20 albums. So if they're not selling at all, then maybe the number is less impactful, right? But if you have 20 albums and five of them went gold, is that great numbers? It's not. But you also have to understand that you're having an impact on hip-hop as a whole at that point. You definitely have some sort of following at that point where it would have an effect on a large chunk of people should you have been removed from that scene. Again, I'm not trying to be a dick, but can we really say that for Goldie Loke? I mean, do the East Siders just fail without Goldie Loke? What albums are removed from hip-hop if we take Goldie Loke's name out of these books? These are some of the things that you also have to keep into consideration when you talk about someone's impact on the hip-hop game, as well as artists that they influence, which he didn't have any artists on his list of names. And again, keep in mind that should an artist have taken something from Snoop or from Big Trey D on an Eastsiders song, Goldie Loke would be given credit for that because he's in the Eastsiders, right? So even that didn't happen. Even with Snoop Dogg next to him, that still didn't happen. So again, I'm not trying to shit on Goldie Loke here, but we have to keep these two things in mind. If you take that platinum album away, you got to be looking at an impact score of, what, a 3? Right? So trust me, he got credit for the platinum album. Maybe a 3.5, right? So he got credit for the platinum album. It's just that's why he's up at a 4 and not a 3 or a 3.5, because had it not been from that, then he probably would have been even lower than that. So at the end of the day, he gets a below average score of 4 in the impact department. Maybe that changes if they come out with that new album that we were just discussing earlier. It's very possible that changes. So we'll have to see going forward. But currently, right now, we're going to stick with a below average score of a 4 in the impact department for Goldie Loke here. And originality, he gets a 4.5. And again, that probably could have been a 4. But he didn't take anything from anyone. Now, not a large body of work, 2 albums and 30 songs, so I mean, not a huge opportunity to take things from other people. But I mean, he definitely had the opportunity. He was on 30 songs, never used a beat of anybody else's, never sampled anybody, never took anybody's lines, nothing. So I feel when there's absolutely nothing that you took at all from anyone ever, that certainly makes a little bit of a statement in itself. Now, on the flip side of that, there really wasn't much else original about Goldie Loke. You know, pretty typical image, pretty typical sound, pretty typical slang, pretty typical content, things like that. So again, you're looking at a scenario of a score that probably would have been lower had that particular instance not be taken into consideration. So I don't want you guys to look at those low scores and say, how the fuck is he a 4 with a platinum album? Or how the fuck is he have a just below average originality score when he never took anything from anybody? Again, we have to look at both sides of the coin. Those things were taken into consideration and those scores would have been lower had those things not been taken into consideration. So you add all those 5 numbers up and you divide by 5, and that gives you a final rating of 3.36, which leaves Goldie Loke in 208th place of 221 artists done overall. So definitely not a strong finish there from Goldie Loke, and I actually want to point out a couple of things here. First and foremost, we have a rare break in our typical pattern of Season 3 so far, which is that Goldie Loke has been one of the very few artists covered here so far in Season 3 to not finish almost directly in the middle. Secondly, it kind of irks me sometimes reading these final placements on guys who weren't bad. And what I mean by that is Goldie Loke's lyric score is a 5, right? That's how technically good he is as a rapper. As a person who writes English poetry over music, etc., like that, right? That's not a bad score. We've probably had close to 100 artists, if I had to guess, finish with the score below 5 lyrically. So again, technically speaking, as far as rapper and lyrics and things like that are concerned, he's certainly not bad. But when you mix in other factors like great songs, popularity, originality, etc., those were not things that were strong points for Goldie Loke. But in all fairness, these things are not necessarily required to be considered quote-unquote good at rapping. These are all just things that come with pursuing a career in the entertainment business, specifically hip-hop, and having an impact or an effect on the people that are or aren't hearing the art that you're putting out. The mark that you left have to have something to do with your legacy as an overall artist, no? How different you were has to have something to do with your legacy as an artist, no? So again, these are the five blanket categories that I feel cover every aspect of what someone could possibly consider when judging someone's placement on an all-time hip-hop list. And unfortunately, for someone who wasn't bad technically, these other categories did not help his case at all, and he finds himself way near the bottom. Now again, are these horrible scores? Absolutely not. He's got a 5, a 4.5, and a 4. Those are all average or right around it. But again, at this particular time in the study, average scores and below are going to land you near the bottom, unfortunately. But big shout outs to Goldie Loke as well as the East Side is no question. So like I've spoken about all season, we're only going to be running off our list during the last episode of each month. And we just did that on last week's episode on episode 5. So since this is our first episode in February, we will not be running off our list here today. But we will be going over our list on episode 9, which covers Nature of the Firm and Shine, which airs on February 28th. So only 3 more episodes this time, and then we get to take a peek at our updated list. Again, if you'd like to see any of these lists in full, they're all on writing on the Tale of the Tapes Facebook page. If you're interested, the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Tale of the Tapes Podcast. You can just give that page a like and follow to stay up to date, interact with the podcast, give ideas, predictions, etc. You can also give the host website a visit at www.anchor.fm/Tale of the Tapes. Both of those links are spelled completely normally. On the host website, you'll see a support button. Go fuck yourself if you've never hit it and you don't intend on hitting it. But seriously, though, that'll do it for episode 6 here today. And although nothing too crazy, at least we did have one artist break the typical pattern in season 3 here. Next week on episode 7, we'll be covering Cuban Link of Terror Squad and underground artist The Last Emperor. Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well.